Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
I just adopted a new best friend, and I'm looking for a Toyota so we can make the most out of summer.
With a new RAV4, you can take your pup for a drive up the coast. You can take a Prius to the park, or you can take a Tundra to kayak at a remote lake.
One problem, Jan.
Oh?
My new best friend's a cat.
Your summer starts here, but it all ends June 3rd. Toyota, let's go places. Dealer inventory may vary. See your participating Toyota dealer for details.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
DNVR Draft Pod! And we are doing it. New presenting sponsor, Raising Cane's, and live from the Toyota Lounge, driven by Front Range Toyota Stores. Toyota, the official vehicle of DNVR. Boys, we're doing it. March Madness, kind of in our rearview mirror.
Kind of.
Justin back with us. Jake back with us. Henry on that football grind?
Yeah, just watching some Calvin Throckmorton.
Love
some,
that.
Some Sam Mustipher.
That's great.
Just a How true ball some, knower, man.
Yeah, I was gonna give you shit for stealing our content on your regular Broncos pod. But no, you are grinding Throckmorton tape. So, I mean, what's better than that right there?
I'm throcked up.
Yeah. Aren't we all? What better way to start the show than that right there? Draft around the corner. We have so much to get into. I'm really excited for this one. Mm-hmm. You guys have left me on a few cliffhangers, if you will. I think our wide receiver rankings are going to be divisive, explosive, exciting. But first, Henry's drinking an unidentified pink beverage on ice. And we'd like to know what's going on here.
Guess what it is?
A little pink lemonade.
Actually, I don't know. Because it's a brand new drink that you might be able to buy from the DMVR bar. What happened was, I was standing right there. Noah, manager of the bar,
comes
up the stairs in a hurry and said, "Taste this." I was like, "Okay." So I took a little sip and was like, that's pretty good. And then he said, "What do you think? Is it too sour?" And I took another sip. And he's like, "You can just keep it now." And so then I said, "I don't know. Like maybe you could even make it more sour." As it would turn out, he had been experimenting, gave it to Lindsay. Lindsay said, "Too sour." So this was the less sour version. So they're working on the sour amount. There's some gin in here. Not really sure what else. Certainly very strong, but you can't really taste it. So
pink gin drink.
Yeah.
That sounds amazing. Low-key amazing. Good.
No, I had to take a pause because I got this far in and was like, I got a podcast to do.
Yeah, put the brakes on.
Pretty sure like the first thing they tell you in college is not to take random drinks from people that are unidentified.
Thank God he graduated, though.
You know? That's true. Otherwise, I could not have done
this. Now he works above a bar, which is lovely. Yeah, we've talked so much quarterbacks, and I'm sure we could get into quarterbacks again for days. Who knows? Quarterbacks might come up in this episode, but we wanted to kind of turn the page, first episode in April, and Jay might kind of start looking at guys outside of that round one range who could look really nice in Broncos orange.
I mean, I think I got to start with my heart and go with Mo Camara, who does have a pretty decent chance to go in the second round. I really am not 100% sure he's going to be there in the third. But if he were, I mean, you love the motor that he has as a pass rusher. They need depth there. Feels like it could be a really nice fit and a really nice value pick.
Yeah, a guy who plays with a great motor, really good leverage. What do you end up measuring in at? Do you remember what his arm length is? And I mean, obviously insanely productive in his career at CSU. I was expecting you to maybe wait on Mo for us, but what's the buzz you're hearing about Mo up in FOCO and what kind of, you know, I know East-West he was getting some good buzz, and like where's that settling? What are you hearing internally expectations are for where he might go?
Yeah, I think the feeling is pretty confident that he's going to go top 60 with the hope that he has a chance to go in the top 50 range. I mean, obviously, you know, you never know what happens on draft day. Maybe he falls more like top 75, but mm-hmm. he's interviewed really well. He had a top 50 visit with the Broncos, performed really well at the East-West Shrine Game, did well at the Combine, ran really well. So, I mean, you know, some of that will come down to his measurements and stuff. But, I just think there's a lot to like about him.
Yeah, and unlike some of these positions, the edge position maybe not the deepest in this class, which helps Mo.
Just over, just under 33 inch arms.
Okay. Good, not great.
Yeah, which is about what I expected.
Length is kind of his area of where he's not elite.
Well, and it's, despite the production, despite his build, despite testing well, it's probably the one thing that's going to have him fall below some of these, you know, top five, six, seven guys, just because the raw traits aren't maybe quite as right. high as some of these other right. guys. But he just feels like a guy, especially in that third round range, that is just going to produce, you know, like maybe isn't going to be an all pro type player, but certainly a guy that can come in and start for you and rush the passer.
Has he done an official visit with the Broncos?
Yes.
8.62 RAS.
Which is good.
Measured nice. In at 6'1". I mean, everything's in the green except for the size metrics.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't know. Broncos could use a pass rusher. So maybe if it's another day two pass rusher, do you have too many day two pass rushers?
You got
rushers?
A lot of day two pass rushers.
Young day two pass rushers.
A lot
rushers.
Of day two pass rushers.
Jake, who would be your first Broncos target from day two and beyond you want to talk about today?
I got to go with my guy, Blake Corum.
Oh. All right. All right. All right.
Stay yes. on brand.
Good. Look, good. I love Javonte Williams. I loved him coming out. I loved what he did before the injury. Last year was tough in a lot of aspects, yeah. but I don't think we ever saw Javonte fully back, and I don't know if he'll ever get back to that. And Sean Payton, you know, he gets running backs from all over the place, right? He finds these Latavius Murrays late in the draft. I mean, Alvin well, that Kamara was a Raiders pick. But yeah, he gets these guys from all over the place. He'll dip into free agency and get them. But Blake Corum is, for my money, the best back in this draft.
And you've been on this for a while.
He's undersized, but the guy has incredible agility. He's got tree trunks for thighs. He's got maybe not game-breaking speed, but he can take it to the house if given a lane.
I mean, you saw it in the playoff.
Yeah.
And that breakaway speed.
He's just got some of the best vision in the class, too.
The vision's what really stands out.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, you mentioned it with the tree trunk legs, and maybe it's not elite getaway speed, but he has this contact balance where, like, mm-hmm. the second he can plant his foot, he's going to be able to, like, really,
yep.
like, leverage speed with that next step off it, yep. right? Like, he feels like he's able to really powerfully kind of give himself runway and push on that.
That run
is so powerful.
In the national championship game, that I think it was maybe his first touchdown, I can't remember, but they're near the goal line, like 10, 15 yards out, and they're running, like, outside zone to the right, and he, the way he sticks his foot in the ground and explodes in between like yeah. four or five defenders yeah. to get to the end zone untouched is, it's rare almost.
Yeah, he's really intriguing. I wonder if running back will be a need that's addressed and how early in this draft.
I would agree. It's a tough, I go back and forth just because yeah. if you give a rookie quarterback a good running game, that goes a long way, but also you have Javonte and Samaje mm-hmm. and Jaleel and
correct.
But also
and I'm also I'm counting on a big bounce back from Javonte.
That's the thing. I hope so. Like, but what if it doesn't happen?
Yes.
Yeah, no, that would suck.
That would really suck.
That would suck.
Yeah, but there's always going to be a veteran back or two that comes available
true.
Around August and September too. If you were desperate for depth, there's probably somebody you could bring in and pick up 10 carries a game for you.
The next,
if you're desperate, though, you're probably mm-hmm. not in a great situation, and that veteran might not prioritize the Broncos.
True. Also true.
Receiving ability for Blake Corum, how much of a modern running back do we have on our hands here?
I mean, he definitely is a traditional, like, I mean, he's a Jim Harbaugh running back, man. He's a guy that can tote the rock 20, 25 times a game. He only caught 56 passes in his career. 16 of them came last year. So he's got some stuff out of the backfield, but maybe another guy more so fitting that mold in this range, maybe Jalen Wright out of Tennessee.
Who blew it up at the combine.
Yeah.
His stock just soared through the roof. And you'd wonder, another explosive Tennessee running back who maybe didn't play to his full potential in Sean Payton's hands. I could sell that narrative on mm-hmm. a draft broadcast.
He had 22 yes. receptions last year.
Yeah.
It's more than Blake. So
yeah. Hankster.
I'm going with Maris Lufau.
Woo!
Notre Dame. Some are saying the best Lufau in Colorado history if he comes to the state of Colorado.
Wow.
Yeah, some are saying. You know what position crazy. He plays?
Please tell us.
I do now.
He's a playmaker. He just does all sorts of things. He's like a little over 6'2", like 226, from Notre Dame. Just linebacker, but he's just like burst. Like, he's just everywhere. Like, he's not super fast, but he winds up with 6 tackles for loss, a few sacks, like a couple pass breakups. He just does all sorts of different things. And he might turn out to be a bit of a tweener, but he also could just
so
be
tweener,
like...
tweener, linebacker, safety?
Yeah.
Okay.
But probably not the speed to actually play safety. More right. so like
sounds
nickel
like
linebacker.
Sounds like he doesn't have the speed to play linebacker.
I mean, let me see. I pulled up the 4.6 4.40.
Good.
It's all like not you can great. Get away with it. But as you're like just dog who you put when you want to go nickel against like 12 personnel.
Yeah.
Maris Lufau. I mean, you couldn't
that's
ask.
Your guy.
I mean, it's what he was built
it's
for.
It's a front five with Maris Lufau.
I think
there.
He also has a really long hair, which I know doesn't like ooh, matter draft wise, but the,
no,
like you,
this
you
matters.
See him freaking flying around and he hits somebody and they just go like flying backward and the hair's like sticking up like Palomalu. And you're just like, there is something here. And that the production sick. Obviously speaks for itself.
And they need another, a little more help at inside linebacker.
Exactly.
Well, where would you target this young man?
Second round's probably a little rich. Third round's probably the move.
Early third.
They've got pick 76. If they take him at 76, I'm going to be thrilled.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm not sure. I wonder where other people have him.
Yeah, let's look that up.
Yeah.
I have a prospect who I'm not quite sure what range he may go in as well. It's Ben... I'm going to try and get this right. Sinat. I've been calling him Sinat. Frankly, I don't think either's right. I was watching highlights earlier to get it, and then it got in my head, and it's just going to be part of our bit where I can't get any names right. He's bit. The tight end at Kansas State. Very good receiving tight end. Very good. A walk-on from Iowa who's turned himself into a star. And he tested through the roof at the combine. I mean, RAS in the 9.9s. He 40-inch vertical, ran in the 4.5s, I want to say. His only limitation is he's 6'4". He's not the biggest, and he's not going to be a true inline tight end, which for the Broncos, in an ideal world, you get him an inline tight end. But I've also been saying... Sean Payton and this offense just need more playmakers in that 6'6", 235 to 6'4", 260 range, you know? And he fits that bill. He's really good receiver. I think Kansas State used him probably too much in line or as a classic H-back, and I wonder what could Sean Payton do, putting him in motion, moving him around, flexing him out. In two tight end sets, having some fun with him. He's just a hard-nosed football player. Like to see him break a few more tackles. When you test like that as a tight end, early third could be plausible. I see people rank him a little lower, and I'm optimistic. Maybe could even be a value play early day three. But Sinat is a kid I really like out of Kansas State.
Well, it's a weak class, which is going to yes. help
yeah.
him.
Yeah,
yeah, 100%.
And, I mean, you got to remember he played with three quarterbacks over the last 2 years. So that, I mean, yeah. they were changing systems a lot, like trying mm-hmm. to go from John Martinez back to Johnson. And
well, and he has two touchdowns Howard. Against Mizzou, who was outstanding. They barely lost to Mizzou.
It
had
a great
incredible
game.
Season. Would have made the playoffs if we were in the two-team playoff. Pretty good game against Texas, and then ends the season with three. His last three games, he has a touchdown in each one and goes over the century mark against Iowa State. Very productive, over 60 receiving yards, over 600 receiving yards. So this is a guy who can do his thing. Again, early third, because the Broncos don't have a second, I'm almost going to be picky about who they take with that pick. I almost wish it was someone who dropped from the second who I had that kind of value on. But Sinat's a guy I think could really do some good to this offense. J-Mike, who would be another guy you'd like to see Denver target in day two?
I'm going to go with, I don't want to save him kind of as a sleeper too, but I have Jermaine Burton, the wide receiver out of Alabama.
It's an interesting one right there.
I think he's got great ball skills. Yeah. I think he's a vertical threat. He's not the smoothest route runner. He's not a guy that's going to do a ton in terms of like breaking tackles and that type of stuff, but it felt like every 50-50 ball was more like a 70-30 ball in his favor. He was awesome in the red zone. Yeah. I think he caught a touchdown like every six targets. So he was really productive despite having a pretty limited passing attack. And he's a guy that I just kind of feel like has the chance in the right system, if he's used the right way, could really be a guy that has like a Cortland Sutton type year from this past season, where he's maybe not going to have like 100 catches, but it wouldn't shock me if you look up and you're like, oh man, he has 11 touchdowns this year.
He was a big play guy for them by the end of the season. Mm-hmm. Like their kind of go-to weapon.
It started slow.
In this loaded wide receiver class, how high could he even go? You know, like I don't think you start to prioritize a guy like that till like round five. And I mean, could be a real steal there. Like there's some,
I think he still probably goes like in the fourth round. I don't think he's going to go in the first three, but
I'll be interested to see. Stylistically, maybe it's not the greatest comp, but I see some Terry McLaurin in him. Ooh. Where he came out of Ohio State. Mm-hmm. He was not like a big production guy. He was like kind of buried on their depth chart. Greatest thing about Terry was like his contribution on special teams. But there was something about that kid, you know, there was something about his competitiveness, and you thought, So I like that one. I'm glad you used that one up.
The big play too, like he felt like, and I don't know how you quantify something like this, but you know how some guys you just feel like are more clutch than others, and it felt like when you needed the big first down conversion, when you needed the big catch over the defender in the end zone, time and time again he found a way to make that play.
Well, he was coming through,
and they weren't always the best thrown balls.
Yeah, no, it's true. Certainly weren't. Jake?
Can I throw a few out really quick here?
Please.
First one, this guy, Jim Nagy put out a tweet saying, like, this is a guy who could go in the first round that not many people are talking about. And it's Cole Bishop, the safety out of Utah.
Mm.
I mean, he's been one of their best players over the last few years. He plays near the line of scrimmage. He can do it all. Next guy, I throw out Zach Center. One of the best linemen in the country, has a broken leg, and I feel like
him as well.
I mean, this is a guy who, this is a team that maybe not going to be competing this year. Take your chances on these guys like this.
Guys, Zach Zinter is a top 20 pick. He has length that really stands out for a guard. He's a right guard who's just a total road grader.
Mm-hmm.
I think he'd have plenty of versatility to play on left guard or even center. It's the fact that the Broncos maybe don't have the biggest need at guard right now. But if not for that, I think you're getting a top 20 value potentially in the top 70, you know.
Yeah.
Zach Zinter's a guy I would prioritize. Such a fit schematically. He was my next guy up. Love him.
This is just what Sean Payton does, though. He just keeps stacking offensive linemen.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
It doesn't matter how good they were or bad they were the year before. He's always trying to improve that unit. So the last guy I'll throw out here real quick is just Patrick Paul, the tackle out of Houston. I loved what he did at the Senior Bowl. No idea how high he goes on the consensus big board. He's at 70 right now. So we'll see. We may have to get into the second round to get him, but I loved what I saw from him.
Love that.
I'll throw James Williams out there.
Yeah.
You've heard of Cameron Kitchens, yes. But this was the other safety at Miami. Again, like,
not a great safety class.
In theory, more of a nickel defender, box defender. Some have said even move him to linebacker, but he measured in at 6'4 1/4" and a little over 230 pounds.
Yeah, he's huge.
He's huge. And so, again, this is kind of filling that same spot there where everybody always wants to play nickel. You can play nickel every down with him. He's a hitter. He's fast enough to cover tight ends. The issue is just the, I guess, like processing. Like in terms of the getting downhill, beating blocks, hitting guys, covering, all great stuff. You worry a little bit about, you know, reading things from deep. And on top of that, the speed. But you just take that away, and I think that he could be nasty. Very, very JL Skinner-like. So maybe a little redundant there in some ways. But Skinner, I actually think it could fill in as a deep safety.
Yeah, he could handle a two deep. Being a two deep safety.
Skinner.
No, not Skinner, but Williams.
I think Williams, if you get him, again, he's probably more of like a day three guy. That's like he's a role player.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to let you go, Dre, after this, but just because this is kind of along the same lines, I had Kamari Lassiter of Georgia.
Yeah.
I think he has some versatility and like he could play corner. I think he could play two deep for you if necessary. He led the SEC in PBUs this past year. He's really aggressive. I like him coming downhill. He's a good tackler.
Has his stock dropped so much that we could talk about him as a realistic third round target?
It seems like it. I mean, it's kind of fallen off of a cliff here.
I mean, that would be truly incredible. Kamir has some like round one type traits.
And that's what he was being talked about coming into the season. Mm-hmm. And he had a good year. I don't really understand what some of the nitpicking has been, but
I don't either. And there's some good synergy with my pick then, which is Michael Hall, the defensive tackle from Ohio State, a guy who came in with expectations of potentially playing his way into being a premier pick for coming out of Ohio State. So many of their guys who maybe underwhelmed this season went back to school. He is the one guy who kind of declared, and I like the flashes I saw at the Senior Bowl. I like the flashes I've seen. He was the guy who dominated. Tuamalu dominated Notre Dame last year. No, Tuamalu dominated Penn State. Michael Hall dominated Notre Dame.
Yes.
Unreal game. A guy who has that three technique potential of being a penetrating interior defensive tackle who could really be just an all-world talent. So I'm just going to gamble on upside and a guy who maybe didn't put it all together consistently in Columbus to have that career that was worthy of all the hype, but I think in the NFL could still find his groove and find his way. And, I mean, that's the exact same thing I would say when you're able to get off a long day of work, enjoy a Breck brew, you know. It's, you know, maybe you didn't. Maybe the day wasn't all you hoped for. It wasn't Michael Hall's college career at Ohio State, but you still have the opportunity to turn that around and become an NFL star. And that's what you're doing when you're relaxing at the end of the day with a nice, tasty Breck brew. Of course, Breckenridge Brewery has been with us for years. We've been talking about them on the Draft Pod for literal ages now, J. Mike.
Half decade.
Breck Brew also, we're doing some fun stuff.
Yes.
I can announce we're doing the round one broadcast at the farmhouse. It's going to be
lit.
Let's go. Maybe special guest. Stay tuned.
Hell yeah.
So that's really exciting. Doing a round of shows live from the farmhouse next Monday, this upcoming Monday, so that's going to be lit. You'll see Hank there. That's going to be fun. And, you know, Breckenridge Brewery is the official craft beer of DMVR. They've got a flavor for all of you. Avalanche Amber Ale, Mile High City, Broncos Country Pale Ale, Fun Slinger, and even a Good Company Hard Seltzer. Check out the beer locator at breckbrew.com to find a brew near you.
On your mark, get set, eat. Make a pit stop at Raisin Cane's for craveable hand-battered chicken fingers. They're always cooked to order and made just for you. Nothing like hitting a Raising Cane's after a CSU football game. Race in for delicious chicken finger meals served up fast. Order up chicken fingers, crispy crinkle-cut fries, and buttery Texas toast. Don't forget the creamy coleslaw and secret cane sauce. Find your local Raising Cane's location or order mobile or online. For cook-to-order, hand-battered chicken fingers, race into Raising Cane's. Turbocharge your chicken fingers and get them even faster by ordering online at RaisingCane's.com or through their mobile app, Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers. One love.
I could really go for some canes tonight. That sounds outstanding.
Yeah, I might have to hit that on the way home.
Outstanding. Yeah, we've got that one on Wads by
finally
us.
Opened
yes.
up.
Yes, it's very nice. Okay. Speak now or forever hold your peace on last day two and beyond targets, because I think we went empty the clip and we're all very excited to get into these wide receivers.
Yes. I like yes. Bucky Irving.
Yep.
We all
me
know
too. Me too. He's on my list.
Me too.
Bucky Irving is awesome.
He'd be awesome in a Broncos jersey. Royce Freeman famously strongly against, Bucky Irving famously strongly for.
That is correct.
Yeah.
Wow. That
so
is
it's
a
not
throwback.
Oregon running back bias.
Also, real quick, Gabriel Murphy, North Texas guy, goes to UCLA.
Did you steal my list?
Is he on your list?
Yeah, he's on my list.
He's a dog.
He's a dog.
He's a dog.
RAS out
he's
the ASS.
He's my one
ASS.
RAS guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. 924 RAS, which some would say is out the ASS.
Hell yeah.
Not that big. Not that long, but gets the job done. And they line him up all over the place. Like, they'll play him off the edge. Like, they've played him, like, head up on a nose tackle before. And he just, like, cooks the guy and gets around him. So probably just, like, true pass rush specialist.
Well, it's about how you use versatile. It, right? Not how big or long it is.
Exactly. Because he is not Gabriel long, Murphy. But he uses it so well.
Jatavion Sanders, Texas tight end. I mean, we've talked about him forever, but...
If
we'll
you
see.
Could get him in the third.
I was going to say, I imagine he goes in the second round, but if he fell, he's a guy I'd love. Joan Ellis, I'd love him.
Yep.
Another high motor edge rusher. Cedric Van Pran, interior offensive lineman out of Georgia. Maybe less of a need after the signing today, but just could be a depth play there.
I like that.
Maybe higher in the second round, but man, another Michigan kid. Mike Sanristil. The slot defender, just an absolute ball hawk all over the place. You're probably going to have to go up to get him.
Yeah, he's good.
He's an absolute
stud. Good. Jeez, guys. You had some more. Kalen Bullock, the deep safety for USC, always stood out to me. Look, he's not the most consistent. And when you're not the most consistent, I can be a little weary if I'm pounding the fist to say you can be a reliable last line of defense. But. Rangy, length, I like his instincts. And Alex Grinch, the DC for USC.
Careful.
He's terrible.
He's got picks on Lincoln or something, or did. I guess they finally made a move.
He is the sole reason why Lincoln Riley and USC's stock is down right now.
Absolutely. So Kalen Bullock, I'm also hopeful that maybe there's a little bit of that Grinch stank on him and that can be turned around. But the Broncos could use a safety like this kid.
He played well at Arizona, I think, before.
I think you're right. You're right. I mean, he stood out at USC. Like, that defense, the thing is, they'd play like garbage, but especially 2 years ago.
Like, the high moments were good. I mean, they're rangy sideline to sideline. Like,
their
speed was insane.
They're long, but they were also creating a lot of turnovers. Yeah. Bullock, a big part of that.
Yep.
Wide receivers?
Let's do it.
Let's go.
Let's do it.
You'll be my North Star. Jake.
Me?
Wow. Yeah.
We'll follow you home.
Yeah.
Good day.
Oh, dude, man.
You're kind of my, you guys don't know this, but Jake's been my my go-to on wide receiver and DB takes for a minute now. So when he says something about these positions, I really pay attention. I think the top three won't be super contentious.
No.
I think 4 and 5 and our other two we want to highlight will be exhilarating. Get your popcorn ready. Let's go. Jake, start us off with the... Let's just do top three, okay? We'll do 10 minutes on the top three. Okay. We'll take a second, and then we just have an all-out war. Let's do this.
All right. My wide receiver one's Malik Nabers.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
What?
Yeah.
Whoa.
This is your North Star?
Well,
what's wrong with Malik Nabers?
Okay, let him explain it.
You know what we're thinking.
Malik Nabers is the next great LSU wide receiver. He plays all over the field. He is a demon after the catch. Plays with physicality.
Yeah.
He's just the complete package. I think that he has the best combination of high floor and high ceiling in this class.
He looks like he is playing with someone controlling a joystick. Like he's that just like explosive.
His moves in the open field, he's a great rack wide receiver. You can, you know, throw him the ball in the short game, design some screens around him, and it's a threat to go to the house almost every time. He's an absolute beast, and I love him.
Well, and it's an interesting top two because one doesn't have elite speed, the other doesn't have elite size.
Yeah.
And there's a bunch of guys behind him with elite size and speed.
I mean, look.
Which adds to the intrigue of the top of this class. Henry, you seem particularly perturbed by this. Oh, why?
Perturbed
why,
is an understatement.
Why
I'm
do you
disturbed
think
at least.
It's so crazy to not think, to think anyone other than Marvin Harrison Jr., who I assume is why you're perturbation is coming from.
Yeah.
Why do you think that's so crazy?
Because Marvin Harrison Jr. is the best wide receiver prospect to come out in my lifetime.
Let's calm down a bit.
Larry Fitz existed, you know.
So is this a good time for me to say Romo Dunze is my number one
receiver? Let's go,
prospect?
Justin. Let's go, Justin. Let's go.
I don't think it's that crazy to say any of these
three
are your number
not.
One.
That's
I really
the thing.
Don't. And I know that Harrison is insane. And like you can nitpick all day, but I just think that what Odunze does, and I think it's very similar with what different style, but just in terms of what he does is going to translate.
Yeah.
The contested catches, the separation, the ability to high point it. He's a more complete route runner than some of these other guys, and he doesn't get the credit for it. Like Harrison's obviously a freak, but he doesn't have the size of Odunze, who's just doing insane things. Now, does it help that you have Penix, who's just putting the ball where it needs to be every single time? Yeah, without a doubt. But I love Odunze.
He's the best, most coordinated version with the best combination of size speed in this class.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
I just think day one, that guy can come in and be, you know, I know Pro Bowls don't really matter anymore. It's probably a bit much to call him an all pro, but much like Neighbors, I think he's got a level of athleticism that's insane.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, I love Odunze, and I love Malik Neighbors. I have Malik Neighbors, too, and I really love Odunze, but it's Marvin Harrison Jr. Like, are we forgetting all the things that he's done? Like, you turn on the highlight reels of all these guys, Marvin Harrison Jr. is making all those catches. Like, day one, red zone threat, Marvin Harrison Jr. Like, deep ball threat, Marvin Harrison Jr. I'd take him on deep balls over Malik Neighbors, even if Neighbors gets the separation. Marvin Harrison Jr. makes the plays. Like, I just think that
he's got the hands I trust more, I think.
100%. Like, he just catches everything. You can use him in all the different situations. Like, they'll throw the bubbles to him and all that stuff, too, and he'll make some plays. Like, I get the speed isn't freaky. What is the 40 time?
I don't think it matters, honestly.
I don't think he's ran one, has he?
Yeah, I don't think so either.
He had, like, a 23-mile-per-hour in-game speed.
Exactly. Like it's,
you're not questioning it if you watch
yes,
him.
Yes, exactly.
Exactly. Like he's perfect.
Would it be crazy if I was like between the 20s, I'm kind of with you, but I just think the ability to make that home run play in the red zone, I like Neighbors and Odunze there.
I mean, yeah, that's fair.
Look, here's the thing, and it's this top three is solidified as a top three for a reason. They're all very, very good, and I could see all of them being the best wide receiver in this class.
All of them, for me, grade out higher than a first-round grade.
Yep.
So,
which there's plenty of years I don't have.
Like, picking one over the other almost feels like a disservice to the others because it's really like 1A, 1B, 1C with these guys.
Just pick your poison. What do you like?
Yeah, exactly.
Are you a Pepsi guy or a Coke guy?
I mean, for me, I think that Neighbors could just be basically what Jamar Chase has been in the league. Instant, just bona fide he's alpha smaller. Dog at wide receiver. He's smaller for sure, but he's not small. And he just has.
What are we talking? 6'1", right?
Let me pull it up exactly. But he's just a guy that I think is a threat to score all over the field and can just instantly put juice into an offense. It doesn't matter which offense it is. I think he's going to produce wherever it is. He's measured in at 6'2".
Is it crazy to think that Marvin Harrison Jr., though, is like a taller, longer Justin Jefferson?
No.
And that's my thing.
I don't know if he plays vertically the same way.
You don't
I think so? I think what he is a, it's like mega sized Marvin Harrison feels like senior.
He's like his dad. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
And his dad, off field stuff aside, was just like an incredible route technician, incredible hands. But he was like 5'11, 180. You know, this kid's 6'3, 209. He's such a technician. To me, Greg's out pretty elite. There are some concerns on the long speed. He's just so big. And such a crisp route runner. Cannot be understated. For a man his size, such a crisp, technically sound route runner. So
It looks the prettiest.
Adapt like watching at getting him. Open. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Odunze is this freak, like 6'3", 215. He can return punts to the house. It's like, what is going on? And Neighbors, I feel the same. Neighbors might be the most like intoxicating film to watch because it's like, God, he just chops you up.
He's incredible.
His cuts
man.
Are nasty. And that competitiveness, we've talked about it with Neighbors. It is very comparable to Ja'Marr Chase.
Yes.
The way Chase would attack you right off the line and then attack you, like fight for his life. When the ball was coming down and it was a 50-50 ball, Neighbors has that same shit. And you see that competitiveness even in the rack, right? Running after the catch.
He plays football like Russell Westbrook plays basketball. And I mean that as a compliment. And I mean it as a compliment.
Of course. Fantastic Super intense. I agree, you can't go wrong. For me, it is Marvin with an elite grade and then Malik and Rome with the same grade. Ahead, which is a projected as top 10 at their position.
Yeah.
Which at wide receivers, shit, that's saying something.
Yeah, they're special. That's saying something. They're all special.
So that's the top three. I'm so glad we could get that out.
It's more fun than all of us just coming up here and being like, Marvin's one, Malik's two, right. Rome's three.
And yes. It's what I love about when we do this during draft season. We have never once gone back to the film and come back and we're just all chalk, all in agreement.
Yep.
We all see it differently. We all have different perspectives. It's the beauty of this exercise. Okay.
4-5 is tough.
4-5. Jake, start us off.
The best of the rest, in my opinion, is Xavier Leggett. Or Leggett. Out of South Carolina.
South Carolina. Huge. Lots of buzz early on in the season because that Mississippi State is stupid.
Mm-hmm.
The tape in that game. He's got that one play where he takes it, takes that angle. It's Henry Ruggs back in the day, right? It's
right.
That play where he takes that angle and just like disappears.
Yeah.
And it's like, whoa, what the exactly. fuck just happened? Yeah. How's this guy so athletic?
Probably one of the best combinations of size and speed in this class. Exploded onto the scene last year as a fifth year senior. Really didn't have any production until last year. Then put up 71 receptions, 1,255 yards, 7 touchdowns. He's got an extra gear in the open field. Like his 40 time, pulling it up right now, he ran 4.39, which is blazing fast. But my God, I'm surprised it wasn't a lower time just with when you see him in the open field. He reminds me almost of like a little smaller DK Metcalf with his ability.
I was thinking AJ Brown.
All right.
Which
that's a good one.
Yeah.
There's some Debo to him, right?
100%.
Yeah.
Yes. And also, what was his name? The guy went to the Raiders, also from South Carolina, wore number 89, made these crazy catches.
Brian Edwards. That
Brian Edwards.
We
he was so freaking
damn,
dope.
Man.
And
love
you
him.
See, like, it's so lazy to do the South Carolina thing, but you're like, oh, just another one of these South Carolina guys who has those hands where he's like, how could he not work out?
I thought the exact same thing watching him, man.
But the difference is obviously like bigger, faster, stronger, more productive. And I put him number 5.
Okay.
Like he really is a monster. And you see him and I AJ Brown is the guy I see. Or just like you get him the ball short and he takes it long, or you can just throw it long and he'll catch it there too.
With
like what more could you want?
With that AJ Brown comp, it's kind of his play style at South Carolina. He was very versatile, lined up all over the field, played out of the slot, played wide, was used on reverses. He was their primary kick returner. too. He's got, you know, that I'd actually kind of describe him a little tight-hipped. I don't think he has the best wiggle. Mm-hmm. But he just has the vision and the speed in the open field that it's like, good luck catching this guy. I think he's a plus blocker. He goes and attacks the football in the air. He's a savvy and sudden route runner, natural hands. I love this guy.
It's a hell of a scouting report right there. It really is. Mm-hmm. It really is. I mean,
I think you put a Florida helmet on him, he's getting a lot more attention.
It blows my mind that he's kind of below so many other receivers.
Hey, a little sneaky shot at Ricky Pearsall.
He had that attention.
It was. There we go.
It was. Yeah. Yeah. He had that attention the first month of the season.
Yes.
He kind of stunk it up at the Senior Bowl, you know? Like, where was he second half of the year? Henry will tell you, where he was eighth in receptions by the end of the season.
Eighth in receiving yards.
In the entire country.
Receiving yards.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which you don't even realize. Because you see like 1255.
You're not a Ricky Pearsall guy?
No. He's soft.
Wow. But did you see that one-handed catch?
Whoa.
You did see like, you saw the one-handed catch, right?
Yeah.
Who has
How it? Could you not be a Ricky Pearsall
Who
guy?
Who hasn't? Right. Wow.
He's a highlight guy. That's like he's the play. Like, yeah, the two plays a game that he makes are fun, but then he disappears for three and a half
Florida's
quarters.
Florida's passing offense.
I mean, he had Graham Mertz thrown in the ball, bro.
Graham Mertz as your quarterback.
Watch.
It was mostly just a joke. I wasn't like, I hate that guy.
Who's your three, Justin?
Four.
Four.
I got,
four. Four.
I stick with LSU. Wait. I got Brian Thomas Jr.
I did too.
How'd you have...
I got Odunze 1, Harrison 2, Neighbors 3, but I think you're really splitting hairs.
And you have Brian Thomas 4.
Yes.
Speak on this, Jake. And after Jake says his piece, if you could bring up that tweet for me.
All right. I see what there is to like about Brian Thomas. Yeah. He just lets too many balls into his frame for me. A lot of just like catching with his chest, and it just turned me off, man. I think he's one of the better blockers downfield in the class. One of the better combinations of size and speed in the class also. The catch radius, I think, is underwhelming for the frame, too. You see guys like Ricky Pearsall, again, like, he is going all over the, like, reaching out behind him, in front of him. He can track the ball well.
Above him.
I don't really, he did have that one, too, but I don't see that from Brian Thomas. When you have that size, I want to see you play like that.
I think that's a fair criticism. I mean, like, I would say that Neighbors plays bigger than he is, and I would say Thomas definitely doesn't. I don't want to say he plays smaller than he is, but he doesn't.
It's underwhelming.
He doesn't take advantage of it quite as well.
Yes.
But the guy runs well. He blocks well. He's seemingly always open. The production's there. At some point, I just kind of trust it. Like a guy that moves that well, that's blocking, he doesn't shy away from it. He catches most things that go his way, even if it doesn't look as pretty.
The upside is crazy.
He feels like a guy that with the right receiver coach could really, really pop.
Led the nation in touchdowns.
Yeah. And
big, fast, led the nation touchdowns. That's a good combo.
And look at the drop rates from the top receivers around the country. So there's like... You're not gonna see this so well on the screen.
Johnny Wilson's one.
Marvin Harrison Jr. 6.9, pretty high. If you scroll all the way down, who you will find there is Adonai Mitchell with under 2% drop rate, and second is Brian Thomas with under 4%. So watching the tape, I too was like, "Holy sh! This guy drops a ton." The stats suggest he does not have as many drops as we see on tape.
It's not more so the drops. It's just use your hands to catch the football. Yes.
And you're right. Outside of the Florida game where I do see a little more extension and stuff, you don't see a ton of that. And with him, it is way more flashes than like consistent. But it's flashes where it's like the comp is Randy Moss.
That's what I mean. He's like at you the look peak up of and he's powers. 15 yards past the next deep player.
Yeah,
like,
right.
It just the dude runs for days. The production's there. I don't think he's as polished as these other guys. I think all of these guys you can nitpick, especially in that 4 through 10 range, but there's still a lot to like.
And all that said, he's 6'3", 209. That's the exact size Marvin Harrison Jr. measured at the combine. He ran a 4.33 and jump 38 and a half inches vertical. And as Hank mentioned, led the nation in touchdown receptions. If he's just scratching the surface and just, you know, giving you glimpses, and he did that and it's that kind of package, what could the full-fledged thing look like?
Look, I'm not trying to – I hate when we kind of do this because I feel like I'm almost talking down on the player when that's not what I'm trying to do. Like,
Sure.
There's a lot to love about his game, and I do think he's, like, up there. I think he's just outside the top five for me. If I had to rank them all, he's probably 6-7 in that range.
It's why this group is so hard, because there's a lot of size, speed guys.
Yes.
Who, maybe not all of them, you'd say, wow, the high-end comp is Randy Moss, but, like,
yeah,
almost. Yeah. I mean,
sure.
I will go next. Adonai Mitchell. To me, that's who's fourth. To me, that's basically Brian Thomas.
They remind me of each other. It's just Adonai Mitchell, I've seen him make more spectacular catches outside of his frame. His hands a lot more. He reminds me a lot of George Pickens.
Well, he's a former Georgia guy.
Yeah.
He transferred from Georgia to Texas. Xavier Worthy was kind of the guy getting more headlines. I've said it for a minute. Adonai Mitchell was always the most intriguing guy. He's the one guy out of this group who I feel confident to slap a first-round grade on.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of the top three who I said graded higher than that for me. It's just combination size, speed. He's made the tough catches. There's some upside. Fun battle with Terrion Arnold against Alabama. They had some good back and forth. He draws a penalty on Arnold because Arnold couldn't keep up. Arnold gets a nice pass deflection on a little curl where he gets through Mitchell's frame and knocks the ball out. Tons of upside with this kid. Tons, man. I'd be shocked if he goes outside of the top 25, frankly.
I like the Pickens comp because he plays angry, which is just kind of a Georgia wide receiver trait with some of those big guys. But, I mean, Burton has some of that, too.
That's what separated him from Brian Thomas for me. I thought he played more up to his size, not just catching the football downfield, but with the physicality in his game, too.
Yeah.
And I think he should add more
to
his game. I think he's only just scratched the surface there when it comes to that.
Henry?
My two are the other two Washington guys.
Mm.
I love them both so much.
Four and five are Jalen.
I thought we were moving on to our others. Four and five. We got Brian Thomas, and like I said, maybe you'll get five.
Went SEC on us. Okay. I mean, fair. We just talked about those guys. That's great size speed combos. Who's your fifth, Jake?
I'm between Adonai Mitchell and Ladd McConkey. We already talked about Adonai Mitchell. Ladd McConkey, I think, is just an all-around good wide receiver.
Great route runner.
I mean, deceptive speed, really. He can be a deep
athlete, huh? Yeah.
No, come on. I'm not trying to do this to him.
Deceptive speed, come on.
He can show ability Hard to pick worker. Up chunks after the catch.
That's a real camera.
He has all the intangibles, no doubt.
Very good hands, good catch radius.
Great teammate.
Coaches on good team.
Kind of guy you'd want to date your
daughter. Coachable, no doubt.
He brought his lunch pail.
He was like the linchpin of that Georgia offense. He was always used in motion on the field. He was used in screens. He was used as a deep threat. I just think he's a guy that can help out any offense. So
I'm the same deal. I have McConkey and Mitchell 5A, 5B. However you want to split hairs. Those are my top six, though. I just think McConkey's one of those guys that, I mean, I know what Puka Nacua and some of these guys did a year ago.
Right.
That's insane, but it wouldn't feel insane if you get him with a good quarterback where it's just like, wait, he had 85 catches as a rookie and like went over 1,000 yards. He's going to get open. He's going to make plays. And he's, as much as I was giving Jake shit, he is a better athlete than people give him credit for.
Yes.
Reminds me of Riley Moss. Cooper DeJean, maybe. The athleticism.
God damn it.
If he was just a little taller, I could buy that. He's like six foot flat, right?
Six foot 186.
For me, the co tied at five are Troy Franklin, who I know there's some drops. And it's more the frame that concerns me. I see enough away from his frame catches and contested ball catches to believe in Franklin's. I used to you know, he's a 6'1 speedster,
mm-hmm.
like legit burner. And usually those guys are more 5'11, 6 flat. He's 6'1, so with some real length, it's just light, like 176. So I worry about that size. I worry about the physicality, but there's a lot to like. And Brian Thomas, we've talked about. I'm just happy to buy the athleticism on that.
On Troy Franklin, I mean, he's got game-breaking speed. This guy can be an impact player as a deep threat in the NFL tomorrow.
4.41 was kind of surprising, frankly.
Yeah, he's got this like long, wiry frame. It reminds me a lot of Jalen Hyatt.
Yeah, not a comp I love. Maybe Hyatt can turn it around at the G-men. Tough rookie year.
Yeah.
I wasn't a big Jalen Hyatt fan last year either, so.
It's fair. That's fair. Henry, your two sleepers,
boys.
The Washington boys.
The Husky boys.
Jalen Polk and Jalen McMillan.
There we go. Yes, sir.
Well done.
Whoa, double Jalen got me. Different spellings.
Yes.
J-A-Y-L-N.
Yeah. Well, and then J-A apostrophe.
L-Y-N-N.
And then you hear a couple people say Jalen, which is wrong. Yep. But then you're like,
non-Baltimore.
I would see how that could be the case.
For sure.
Yeah, and so then that'll get in your head. But yeah, the two Jalens, both 6'1", both within like 3 pounds of 200, both making like these ridiculous catches up over their heads. Mostly this might be my Penix bias that's coming through, but in terms of Broncos targets, if you get Penix, obviously you have to draft one of these guys. Like, you got to get your hands on one. Like, the chemistry that you get to bring over is just so easy. But even if the Broncos don't get Penix, the way that offense worked with all those throws to the boundaries and all these guys just, like, making these catches they shouldn't be able to make, I think it's a little bit of my... I was scorned by Jerry Jeudy, as we all were, because he's a guy who gets open and then catches the ball if it gets to him. I would love a receiver who will catch the ball even if it's really hard to catch it. Even if you're like, oh, he's not catching that. And he's like, oh, he did catch that. And I'll sacrifice some getting open ability, some speed, some Cortland whatever, some size. Yeah, just give me guys who will catch the ball when I don't expect them to instead of not catching the ball when I expect them to. And these are two of my favorites.
That's what I like about Jermaine Burton. Okay. I think he's a good contested catch guy. I also really like McMillan from Washington. I had him down, and I'll let Jake talk about him, but I'm a big Xavier Weaver fan from CU. I'm not saying I would have him at 7 or 8, but if we're talking like who's a Broncos target outside of these top guys we've talked about, I think he has the production. I think he runs well. He's got good size. Jake's obviously better suited to talk about him, but...
Man, Zay, I mean, he just had his pro day, so I'm going to be very, very high on him right now. But... he just didn't get the chance to show his stuff because he was hurt. He tore his labrum early in the season against Nebraska, played through it all year, got a little banged up with his ankle throughout the back end of the year, goes to start doing draft prep in January, and the NFL comes back and says, hey, you got to get this fixed. So he's out. He can't run or do anything all the way back to January, just gets cleared, does pro day this week. And it's one of those things, it's one of those stupid draft things where it's like, the further removed we get from the season, there's these guys that you just kind of forget about, right? Especially because they're not in the draft process. He's one of them. But just seeing him on the field the other day, it's like, yeah, that's the same player I remember seeing on the field.
He was the most impressive CU player in the CSU game, from my perspective.
Give me Malachi Corley,
Yak
God, internet sensation, West Kentucky's own. We've been talking him up for a minute. We love him. He's so low to the ground and compact, and those feet just are full on, not lightning, like TNT sticks.
Yeah.
Just dynamite.
Yep.
Explosive, tough to bring down, and competitive, even though he's a little shorter, but it's that compact body.
Well, and I like that he has the sample size. Like, I feel like we've drafted guys that quote unquote fit that mold over the years from. I can't even remember their names, but guys from, you know, like Louisiana Tech. I know we had one of those, a small
Carlos Henderson.
Henderson, like that type, where it's like, that's kind of what they're supposed to be, a smaller, like maybe he's a returner. Maybe you can get him some quick screens. Maybe you can get him downfield. He's just fast. He was their number one wide receiver, being covered by everybody's number one corner. There were some times where physical corners would really get their hands on him, and he kind of struggled to get out of that. And I worry about that in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Like, you just get your hands on him and then that's kind of it. But man, if you get the ball in his hands in space, he, especially like for a Sean Payton guy, he's pretty intriguing.
Well, and you have the big contested catch guy in Cortland. You have the speedster undersized guy in Mims. You have the lankier speedster guy in Tim Patrick. You need a yak god.
Mm-hmm.
Malachi Corley, Denver's calling. Pick up. Benson up. Malachi Corley, trade down for Penix and add another O-lineman.
Ooh.
Let's ride, I say.
Let's ride.
Don't. Come on. Malachi Corley's sick, though.
Yeah.
He's the first player I've seen since Debo's entered the NFL who is like the picture perfect Debo comp.
Yep.
I mean, 5'11", 215. Yeah.
He's at 215.
Yeah. That's his combine measurement.
I would have guessed at like 5'11", I would have guessed 205. I also wonder if that's a classic case of put on 10 pounds for the combine. So you have the weight, but he actually plays at more like 200, 205.
Go back and watch the Auburn game from 2022 and look at how they used him in that game. And he's just the entire off. It's so much like Debo. He's on reverses. He's using the screen game all the time. He's catching balls over the middle of the field, running over guys. Like, he's running away from people down the sideline.
And it's one of those guys was like, how did you just run sideways for 6 yards and then turn it up and still outrun everybody around you?
He's incredible. Jose has some great comments in here, including his sleeper list above. Yeah, he's a true homie. And if Marvin Harrison Jr.'s name wasn't Marvin Harrison Jr., I think he'd still go pretty high. He outplayed Jackson Smith and Jigba and some other Ohio State wide receivers that have done okay in the NFL. So, boys, this was fun.
Yes.
Always, always a pleasure, and it's just our season. It's going to get better and better the closer we get to the draft. Stay tuned for all we've got coming up. Stay tuned for Rams pod coming up. And, you know, all that Hank does on the Broncos pod all week, we're just going to keep trucking. And of course, tune in to what Jake's doing on the Buff side. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks to Raising Cane's for presenting this here pod. Have a lovely weekend.